All my kids at night. I was just complaining about that.
Good morning, colleagues, members of the public.
Good morning.
Rep Green, look, we're entering phase two of this committee.
Oh, my goodness.
It's time to change our habits.
Good idea.
Yes, good morning, all, to this Wednesday, April 24th, 2013 meeting, the House Committee on Higher Education Workforce Development. And today we will be dealing with a subject that brings those two together as we hear about the TANF Jobs Program. This is the first of the information hearings that we'll be having over the next few weeks. Some of the others that we'll be doing this Friday, we're going to have a presentation from the Secretary of State on their audit that they did of higher education, and we'll be hearing a response from representatives from OUS. So that should be an exciting day. Take a look at that audit in advance and be prepared with your questions for both sides of that that debate. Next week, we're going to be hearing about getting an update from the HEC task forces on textbooks and credit for prior learning, which should be very interesting. On Wednesday, we'll be doing a topic that should be of some interest to Rep. Wisnant, and that is the OSU Cascades campus and the partnerships that are happening in Central Oregon between the community college and OSU and high tech. And then we're doing the same thing with Eastern Oregon on Friday, some of the partnerships between Eastern Oregon University, the community colleges, and high school districts. Should be a very interesting week next week. So, again, if you have additional topics that you'd like us to be considering, please let us know. So, with that, I'm going to open the information hearing on TANF jobs, and I will call up the first panel, and this will be Liesl Wendt. Welcome, Liesl, and Sochi Esparza. Please come up and kick this off. We'll be having a couple of panels of students as well. This should be very interesting.
Good morning, Chair Dembrough, members of the committee. My name is Liesl Wendt, and I'm the Director of Self-Sufficiency Programs at the Department of Human Services. And I want to thank you for the invitation to be here to talk about jobs and the TANF population, and really what is unique about some of the challenges that the TANF population faces when looking at employment. Today, we have a series of community partners who will be here to talk about what the work really looks like on the ground, and you'll get an opportunity to hear from some students about their experiences. So we hope this will be a lively discussion. And to kick it off, we thought we would just give a very brief overview of TANF. What does the client profile look like? What have been some of the increases in the caseload? And then Sochi will talk through the jobs program to give you a little bit better feel of what that looks like. So I know some of you are on the House Human Services Committee, and I've heard this a few times, so apologies, but we thought we'd provide a good orientation to get started. So really, the two principles driving the TANF program are family stabilization and economic stability. Oregon's recognized TANF as a prevention program, and the goal is to really provide that support to stabilize families, and that can look a lot of different ways depending upon what families' issues are that bring them to TANF. We'll talk in a minute about what some of the increases have been in the caseload, where we've seen a really significant increase in two-parent families, which has presented a new dynamic. But for some families, it's often a crisis that brings them onto TANF, and the TANF benefit provides for basic needs, helps pay for housing, utilities, the basic necessities that they might need to support their families. Fast forward two slides there. We wanted to give you kind of a profile of who's on TANF. So the typical TANF family is a single mom with two children. And to qualify, families have to be extremely low income, so less than 38% of the federal poverty line, which is about $616.
Could you say that again, please?
Sure. They have to be extremely low income, which is 38% of the federal poverty line, which is $616. And most of those families have no earnings at all when they come onto the program. The average benefit is $506. And what's interesting, or even more challenging, I should say, is that 85% of those families aren't also receiving a housing subsidy. So many are doubled up or being creative about what that housing situation looks like. So it's a minimal benefit that does its best to provide some stability for the family. And for many, TANF's the pathway to either out of a crisis, but towards family stability. We know that 30% of adults worked in the last 2 years, and 65% of the children that are on TANF are between 0 and 5, so extremely young children. So I want to, we've certainly seen a significant increase in TANF since 2007. These are the data that you see here are points in time counts from December of 07 to December of 2012. And overall, it's been a 96% increase since 2007. But I really want to highlight the next column where you see a significant increase in two-parent families, 474% increase. And as you can imagine, many of the driver for many of these families really was the economic downturn. The loss of jobs in Oregon led not only to increases in the number of families seeking support, but changes in who's receiving that assistance. The Office of Economic Analysis forecast growth in all of Oregon's major private sector industries in 2013, with largest growth in professional and business services. However, most TANF families enter the program with work experience in accommodation, food service, retail, healthcare, administrative support, and manufacturing, so sectors that are predicted to grow at slower rates. So you'll hear later about our efforts to align our strategies with where the jobs are coming. So there's a significant gap between the skills that people have in their previous work and where jobs are coming. So that's the challenge ahead of us, is to look at how to align our training and our support for families so that they're prepared for the jobs that are coming to Oregon. The next piece just gives you a little bit of context in where that caseload growth has been. We had a former slide that was a little complicated, but I think it was interesting, that showed TANF caseload increase, unemployment, and poverty rates. So there's clearly a connection between those factors in most counties. Deschutes is an interesting county that I just wanted to highlight, where there was significant growth in TANF, but where poverty is low. And that county really went from next to nothing from a caseload to really something, and that's probably not a surprise given that region was significantly hard hit with the recession. But it just really illustrates that connection between what's happening in the workplace to where people are actually able to get jobs and support their families. So with that, I'm going to let Sochi talk about the service delivery, so what it looks like.
Chair Denborough, members of the committee, my name is Sochi Esparza. I am the Temporary Assistance for Needy Families Program Manager at the Department of Human Services. And I wanted to just touch briefly on the service delivery. As Ms. Wendt mentioned, the goal of the program is to help stabilize families and help prepare people for employment. The program is designed to help break the cycle of poverty and help the healthy development of children, as well as the job preparation for adults. And with this slide, what we wanted to highlight is that often, and as Liesl mentioned as well, people come at different stages, and often they may need to take care of a few things before they're ready to do job training or do job search. For example, domestic violence might be something that is a stressor in the family that needs to be addressed right away, some health issues or some other family stability issues that may need to be addressed right away. And then eventually, the goal, of course, is to help people obtain the skills necessary and then prepare for employment, get some job training, and ultimately become self-sufficient. This slide is intended to show the flow when a family contacts our office and seeks assistance. And often they are in crisis or they have exhausted all of their resources. I really wanted to highlight the process that is in the box, the blue shaded box. The Job Opportunity and Basic Skills Program, the JOBS program, is the TANF program's employment and training component, and we have experienced a lot of reductions in the last two biennia. The JOBS program currently is funded at 50% of the last biennium's budget, so we really had to work with members of the legislature and stakeholders on how to deliver services and ultimately really focus the resources on those who are most job ready. And so people who are job ready, generally we work with our partners at the WorkSource Oregon, the Oregon Employment Department, Community Colleges and Workforce Development, and those families that who are job ready are referred to that system. And a lot of the resources within the JOBS program are centered around the folks who are near job ready, and so they have some possible work history. They have they might need a skilling up, a few more training opportunities, but so with some supports, they'll be able to seek employment and find employment.
Excuse me, just a second.
Yes.
Rep Gorsuch, you have a question?
Yeah, sorry to interrupt. I wanted to just touch on the domestic violence piece.
Mm-hmm.
Are these people that come to the program and indicate that there's a domestic violence situation, or are you connected to shelters and support services for domestic violence people that funnel them to you? Can you tell me how that works?
Both. Representative Gorsuch and members of the committee. Yes, the application for services has some strategically placed questions to screen for domestic violence in a way that is not, that doesn't use the word domestic violence.
Right.
That often is has some negative connotations. The department does have, thanks to the legislature, a few on-site domestic violence service providers. They are co-located in child welfare and self-sufficiency offices. And when the JOBS program was more robust, there were a lot more contracts and more presence. But there is a network, and there is a lot of collaboration that happens between DHS and those organizations.
Great. Thank you, Ms.
Okay. So moving on, I mentioned the JOBS program. In 2009 to 2011, you can see the array of services in the left-hand corner. And we think that a lot of these, we try to provide the right mix of services to help in both family stability as well as job and employment related services, but a lot of the family stability type of services like life skills, drug and alcohol, mental health, learning disability contracts were ended with the reductions in the current millennium. And so there are four things that are offered: job search, work experience, unpaid work experience, supported work, and some of our partners who are contracted will be describing those services in further detail. There is also a program called a Jobs Plus program, which is subsidized employment, and we work with employers to provide some job opportunities and real work experience. For the next biennium, it's pretty much a similar array of services, but later on, Ms. Wendt will describe some of our plans to be to work more in a more focused way to achieve higher outcomes. So in a nutshell, these are some of the challenges in the TANF and JOBS program. We have caseloads that are double what they were prior to the recession. The JOBS program has reduced capacity. There's limited case management staff. Also, with the increase in the caseload, the staffing remained the same, and so there is limited support from case management, and we'll talk about some of our plans to overcome that. And the economy continues to be a slow recovery. So now we're going to talk about community partnerships.
One of the pieces we particularly wanted to highlight is the ongoing work with the strategic plan around workforce. Both our director, Erin Kelly Seal, and the self-sufficiency deputy director, Carol Lehman, sit on that work group and are looking at what are ways that the jobs partners and program can partner with existing services so that we're leveraging what those services are and not duplicating wherever possible. So when Sochi was talking a little bit about that group that's level one or near, had been in the workforce recently, part of the strategy is to partner with those workforce partners locally and send folks there to get that training. So those are folks who might not need a lot of extra support to get back into the workforce. There's two particular strategies here that I just wanted to highlight on, and again, you'll hear from the panel, particularly on sector strategies. One of the opportunities is to really look locally and identify where are those jobs that are coming, what are the skills that are needed. So maybe it's a call center that's coming into a community and there are specific skills that are needed to support that call center, and how can that training then happen with the jobs contractor, and then how can folks be prepared for that interviewing process to secure that job. Another example might be healthcare. So really identifying what are the specific skills and tailoring the training to make sure people are supported. The other is around the work-ready communities and looking at preparing people with the National Career Readiness Certificate. And folks from PCC will talk a little bit more about their efforts in that area. And then finally, there's several community partnerships underway. The one I just mentioned around currently working with the workforce system so that people can get that ready job training, aligning around NCRC testing. The other piece I wanted to highlight is we did have a series of work groups last year with stakeholders to look at, given the reductions in the program, given the increased caseload, what are some new ideas that we might look at to help people stabilize and get back to work? And some of those ideas were nicely aligned with the strategic plan. So how can we make sure that the training is really closely tied to what the jobs actually are in the community? And preferably jobs that pay a wage so that people are actually independent. And I know that's an issue that Representative Gallegos has brought up in different settings. It's not just that we want people to move off the caseload, but we want them to be able to support their family in a work setting. So making sure that we're preparing people for those types of jobs. The other piece that the work group talked about that might not be quite as relevant for this committee, but is certainly a key concern, is how do we support people when they do transition to work? So what's that piece look like for this first 3, 6, 9, and 12 months so that people are able to stay employed, helping them deal with challenges around transportation or childcare, or what are some of those transitions that happen when people move to employment? And you'll hear from John Mullen, one of our panelists later, about what that work group experience is like and how to ensure that people really are supported during that transition. So with that, that's the end of our presentation, and questions, we have quite a few panelists.
Great. I think we do have a couple of questions. Thank you very much, Liesl and Sochi.
And thank you, Mr. Chair. Liesl, how much of the program is required? Sitting on Human Services, a few biennia back, I got some of the ideas that I had working with Rep. Dimbro on the Oregon Workforce Investment Board and how to deal with unemployed folks coming in to sign up for unemployment benefits. And, of course, we both also worked heavily on the Career Readiness Certificate. Is that at the point where it's a requirement for new entrants into TANF to take the NCRC?
Chair Dembro, Representative Huffman, I think I'm going to let Sochi answer that question because she can talk about requirements and participation.
Representative Dembro, members of the committee, and Representative Huffman, we are at the planning stages at the moment with the NCRC. There are a lot of local. There is a lot of local participation between the contracted staff and they often co-enroll TANF clients. Right now, it's not at the point where it is a requirement. We're working on how to enhance our participation, and that is certainly something that we can take back and discuss with our partners.
Quick follow-up, Mr. Chair. Is there a component of that is also taking a skills test, which we've successfully done off and on throughout the state at WorkSource centers and the employment department. Is that a part of it also, taking an entry skills exam to find out exactly what you're dealing with, what skill level, you know, I mean, how do you identify, what do they go through to identify where they are if they're coming off of a $10 an hour job and we're trying to get them to a 13 or whatever?
Mm-hmm. Representative Huffman, following the application for services, there is a short employability assessment that is conducted at the office, and it really is a series of questions to determine if someone is likely to be job ready. And then once that determination is made and if they're referred to WorkSource, or again, often the IMATCH skills process is just like any other job seeker, that is the identification of skills and also what the job preference might be and how to match someone with employment.
Just a comment, Mr. Chair.
Please.
I would and I don't recall if you all have anybody, not that I can picture, in the audience that attends our quarterly Oregon Workforce Investment Board meetings, but I would highly recommend getting in touch with Agnes from the governor's office, because they're snuck in on me to make sure, because a number of these programs we've been working on for years, and it sounds like they're just kind of getting on your radar screen, and Agnes is shaking her head, so we're on the same. There's some great coordination there that can be done, so thank you.
Rep. Gallegos.
Thank you, Chair Dumbrough. I just want to draw the attention of the committee to the fact that not only are we talking about workforce development of a chronically underemployed sector, but also to recognize that this agency and its partners represent a tremendous workforce as well, and one that we need to acknowledge and make sure that we're protecting as well, in terms of not only just as a vital part of our network, but also the fact is that a lot of the clients that this agency and these programs serve actually gain entry into workforce through these agencies, through this agency and the partner agencies as well. So I think it's just important to recognize that it's a very critical workforce element within our communities.
Thank you. Yes, thank you very much for that. Liesl, can you tell us something about the funding of the programs? Is there federal funding that goes along with this, and how is that potentially being affected by the reductions in federal funding in general?
Chair Dumbrough, members of the committee, the TANF program is a federal block grant that actually is protected from sequestration, so it is not impacted. And then there's a significant amount of state general fund investment in the program as well. And what's important to note, I think, on the federal level is that amount has stayed steady since 1996, when the block grant was first made. So the federal funding has not really kept up with what the changes in the population and the caseload have been.
So this is not a match program in the sense that if the state were to invest more, there would be more of a federal match. It's, you know, the state's investment is needed just to keep up with demand. Is that right?
Chair Dumbrough, members of the committee, that's correct.
Great. Okay, thank you. Any other questions, colleagues? Okay, thank you very much. Now we'll move into a couple of panels of people who are directly involved with the program. So the first panel is Rene Dubois, Kelly Wright, and Victoria Leboff. Please.
Good morning, Representative Dumbrough and committee members. My name is Renee DuBois. I am the district manager for over child welfare and a TANF program in Marion, Yamhill, and Polk counties. And I'm just here to kind of frame for you the continued work that we're doing with our clients who are coming in and accessing services. And these are clients who are accessing the TANF benefits and who are participating with the jobs program. And I kind of want to tag on to what Liesl and Soshi was saying, that as we work on a daily basis, we do have a formalized joint structure working with our community partners, our business community, which is inclusive of the employment department, which also includes job scores, WIA, workforce investment. I'm part of the workforce investment board within this county. This is one of my partners sitting beside me within the county as we work with our clients. Now, one of the issues that I have seen over the years, that our clients who come to us, that some of them certainly have been unemployed, chronically unemployed, and underemployed. We're certainly seeing a change because of the economy. Folks who have exhausted their employment benefits are now walking through our doors. And they have a higher level of skill set. But the majority of our clients are certainly at that lower level of a skill set. GEDs, some high school, lack of high school. But all of them are motivated to go to work. I was just with a group of these folks yesterday. And some of our challenges that we're facing is a lack of being able to enter into the employment sector because of criminal history backgrounds. And how do we as an organization and community and a state, how do we begin to support our agency in getting some gainful employment because of this barrier around criminal history? The other is, as we look at these clients, the competition that they're facing with a higher skill set population poses a difficulty. So how do we, I've spoken to Liesl, and I met with some folks from the business community a couple of weeks ago, how do you add one? How do you as a community person step to the plate with the support of the state, whether it's incentives to businesses, add one TANF client? And what will we gain from that? And I think we will gain a heck of a lot from that, and especially because we're in the dynamics of time limits for these folks who are on our systems. We know we have a 60-month time limit out there, but I don't want to wait for 60 months for folks to get a job. I want to do this now in the beginning. And one of my ideas is how do we, and I was with business leaders yesterday and some of the other partners, is how do we begin to support businesses to add one TANF client? What would that mean? What would that take? And then as we align ourselves and continue to align ourselves with the overall workforce agenda of the governor, and I'm certainly supportive of that, how do we begin to make certain that we are nimble enough to provide services for our clients into sector jobs, like healthcare is for one, and working with our EARN partner here, and Cover Oregon is coming in, and we were nimble enough, they were nimble enough with us to provide some training for folks to be competitive for these jobs that are coming out. So again, the alignment with the overall umbrella of workforce development, but understanding the challenges that these clients have. And I think Liesl touched a little bit, how do we begin, which is some of the barriers and struggles that we have, a supportive glide path when people go to work, that retention. How do you work with clients who have been at home the majority of the time, and now we want you to go to work, but how do you balance that work and family without imploding on your job. And so we need support in those areas there. And we're working with our community partners and our business community, meeting on a regular basis, which some of you folks may know with Dick Whitnell, to kind of get that word out to, as Dick says, what's the return on the investment and what's the ask? My ask is add one, you know, get just add one client, and you add one across. And I'm not saying just put them in. I'm just saying let them at least have an option to get in the door. And so we're doing that kind of work. The other is I believe certainly across the state, and I know within District 3, our work with the employment department, with our EARN folks, with our WIA folks, it's been very beneficial. We could not do this alone by ourselves. And with our nonprofit organizations and faith-based organizations that are sitting around the table to work with us to open their doors to add at least one client through either the Jobs Plus program or Work Experience program. That when we look overall, that we believe, and I appreciate the comments, that we're a viable factor to workforce development and supporting the clients who are coming through the doors within our systems across the state.
Thank you very much, Renee. Okay.
So, good morning, Representative Dembro and members of the committee. My name is Kelly Wright, and I actually work with a program that's very near and dear to my heart. It's called the EARN program. I'm an actual staff member of an organization called Shangri-La, which you may have heard about. We specifically work with people who have developmental disabilities, and also one of the components through our partnership here in District 3 with Marion Polk in Yamhill County is our opportunity to offer services to economically disadvantaged populations. I come to you wearing many hats. I myself was a teen parent and a TANF recipient. I attended Chemeketa Community College, and then I went on to Portland State, and my internship was actually with WorkSource Oregon, and so I got to see the insides and outs of workforce development, and I was at the front line helping job seekers apply for jobs, routing them around the building, answering questions, and then through then I just continued to take the next step and promote up. I had an opportunity to work with the CRC grant that was happening specifically here in Marion County and help facilitate that, and then opportunities to get a little bit more of an exposure to the jobs program and get to see what it's like on the staff member side of things. And I tell you, I have the honor to work with clients every single day frontline, and I'm talking about people who are receiving public assistance who are severely economically disadvantaged, people that really will come to you and share that probably their biggest barrier is a lack of confidence. When they're not able to provide a winter coat for their child, they're not able to have, take your child to Chuck E. Cheese so that they can have a birthday party, because when you're receiving $500 a month to care for your children, those things are just not an option. So as life progresses, and I'm happy to answer any questions specifically about clients I work with or even my personal story, but kind of coming to where we're at today, my work with the EARN program specifically here in District 3 is we're providing a supported work program where participants who are receiving public assistance and who are working with the jobs program are referred to us. And on day one, our first week, it's a five-week program, our first week is talking about overcoming barriers. We have, the training is very focused on an adult learning style. We talk about recognizing strengths with a strength-based model. And for example, one of the things is we'll ask clients, what's a goal of yours? And this could be maybe one day they own a house, maybe one day they own a car, maybe that's where they're at. And what we ask them to do is we have stepping stones, and then they can write down on the stepping stone you know, these are the steps that I need to take. I need to apply for jobs. I need to maintain a job for a year. These are the things that I need to do. So they're actually visualizing. They come up in front of the group, and they actually walk on the stepping stones, and they can visualize themselves becoming self-sufficient, because really that's the goal of the program. Through the supported work program, as Renee mentioned earlier, because of the fact that we have such a close partnership with DHS, we're able to really connect where clients are at and then also bring in the business component. And when we hear that there's a mass opportunity for hiring, like with Cover Oregon, within about a two-week period, we devised a training for 2 weeks that was specifically intensive, where we covered medical terminology, how to work in a high-volume call center. We actually contacted Cover Oregon and said, what are the things that you're looking for, so that when we're training people for their mock interviews and things like that, that they're actually really ready to go. And they gave us feedback, and we took it directly to the clients the next day. Another one of the programs that we offer here in District 3 with the EARN program is our job search component. And this is actually kind of wraparound services where someone's receiving public assistance like TANF and the SNAP benefits, and then they're actually working with a JO trainer where they're coming in. What jobs have you applied for? Oh, they're networking with people in their community. Their neighbor said they got a job at this location. This business is hiring. We get feedback from employers in our community. We take it right back to them. And it's really to meet them where they're at. The confidence is, like I said before, is really one of the big components, that when you get disassociated from work and the inability to support yourself and your family, a lot of the feelings of self-doubt, frustration, the biases that are built into our structure and community can really weigh heavily on them. Another one of the strategies that we have specifically with the EARN program is our HS, or our high school completion component, through our partnership with DHS. We're working with TANF recipients who haven't received their high school diploma or GED, and we actually have certified teachers who are meeting with them, who are doing GED preparation, who are answering questions that they have about enrolling in high school, who are checking on attendance, who can help with homework, those kinds of things. And also, we are factoring in the employer component, so as they're completing the high school connection, they're also talking about how important it is to have this high school diploma, because as we all know, most employers won't even look at your application unless you have a GED or high school diploma. One of the components that is very near and dear to my heart, I probably have the most experience, is the work experience and Jobs Plus component. Before I was promoted to manage the department, I actually was in the field working with employers directly and asking them, just like Renee said, this is an opportunity for you to bring someone in who's receiving public assistance through subsidized employment. So there's a huge financial incentive for the business. But specifically with EARN, one of the things that we really focus on is trying to identify the businesses who are local. Oregon-based business, family-owned business. I can't tell you how many businesses we've run across where they're working 7 days a week because with economic structure, they haven't been able to hire any other staff people. So then this is their opportunity to bring someone in, to train them through subsidized employment, help ensure that they are more marketable, they're gaining current job search skills. And the other thing is the current references. We're really getting that from our clients is, well, I would love to have a job, so much so that I will even volunteer at a business. And so we have our work experience component, where someone continues to receive their TANF and their SNAP benefits, and they volunteer with local businesses to get current job skills, and then also to get current references and kind of that skill upgrade component that we're talking about. I think one of the strong messages that I really want to leave you with, and like I said, I'm welcome any questions that you may have, is just how important it is to fund programs like the JOBS program, because even in just this year alone, since July till March, we have served over 1,500 clients who've received these services, whether it be work experience, the high school component, our supported work component, whatever it may be. And just yesterday, we actually had a client panel at one of our all staffs through partnership with the DHS, and every single client said thank you so much. Really, our focus, our dedication is we believe in people until they're ready to believe in themselves. And yesterday, that client panel had an opportunity to get up and share about how they're able to believe in themselves and really honor their success.
Thank you very much for that, Kelly. Thank you.
I'm Good morning, Representative Debro and members of the committee. My name is Victoria Lieboff, and I represent a new organization that provides job services in District 2 Multnomah County, particularly east part of Multnomah County. First of all, I would love to invite you to have your next session as a community works project in Portland. We call it off-site, so you're invited to off-site activity. And what would you see there? Here you would see a woman who is in domestic violence situation, who is about to become homeless, who is carrying her staff in her backpack because any minute she could be kicked out of a house that is signed to her boyfriend name. Over there is a man who is a single father with 2-year-old girl who is taking full responsibility for providing for her and wanted to work really hard. Over there you would see 2 younger women who don't have their GED, who don't have their high school diploma, but who are very motivated to change their lives. On Saturday, 2 Saturdays in March, you would see a van full of our clients going to a hiring event with the Kaiser New Hospital, which is in Hillsborough, not in Gresham, not in East, but in Hillsborough. And people are willing to go there and work because the housekeeping department pays $17 an hour, and we get people hired there. When I say we, who are we? I think one of the unique features about the partner that I'm a part of and want to talk about is that we are 6 community-based organizations from Portland, which is Immigrant and Refugee Community Organization, IRCO, NEA, Native American Family Center, SEI, Self-Enhancement Inc., African American Organization, Urban League of Portland, our newest partner, El Programa Hispanic Catholic Charities, and Human Solutions, who a little bit more than a year ago got together and decided that 10 of clients are members of our community. And we are responsible to help them out with our more than 100 years combined expertise to serve disadvantaged population in Portland, in our strong devotion to the services and belief that we can change people's lives. And I really appreciate what you were saying. I think everybody who will be talking will be on the same page about our clients. People who do want to work, people who are motivated to work. But there are barriers, such as those that have been mentioned before and will be probably mentioned more, prevents them from being fully engaged in education and other activities that would make them more marketable in a local economy. And the biggest thing, and I totally agree with you, is that low self-esteem, lack of confidence, people don't believe in themselves because of all the turmoils in their lives. And I wouldn't be wrong if I would say that Community Works Project, as well as my old partners here, are in many times are those who are the only one who provides that support, who provide encouragement and unique services. We operate the same components. We have the supported work component. We have an opportunity to connect our clients with local businesses to volunteer. And you should see when people get this opportunity and how they thrive in those opportunities. I can do this. I didn't know I can. And seeing that spark in their eyes, seeing that they started to believe that they can do that is the biggest, you know, outcome for us. We also are connected with a lot of local businesses, small businesses that would be willing to train people in subsidized employment, get their own benefit of having an employee and train people, and then a lot of time hiring them with a better and bigger skills. And of course, the major outcome, the biggest outcome, is never seeing these people again because they became self-sufficient with all our help. I think one of the unique strategies that Community Works Project has is one-on-one approach. We believe that at this stage of life with so many barriers, people need to have one single person who is helping them, not holding their hands. People are capable of supporting themselves, but guiding them through stepping up through the steps from volunteering to subsidized employment to employment, building skills, presenting themselves, overcoming barriers. And I have a group of 12 workforce specialists who are doing exactly that. From the day one, when people come into orientation, they are introduced to these workers, and they walk out in about a couple hours with a specific plan, with the next step. This is what I'm going to do tomorrow. I'm coming tomorrow to a skill development center to work on my typing skills. I'm coming tomorrow to participate in Job Connections Club, where we have a lot of employers coming in, presenting and hiring right there after that. People being interviewed on a spot. I'm coming tomorrow to meet with my workforce specialist to help me to put the best resume together. And guess what? My resume looked pretty darn good after we worked together on this. I am coming tomorrow to get a mock interview because I'm very scared and I haven't done it for the last 5 to 7 years. You name it. And having this person who is passionate and professional to help people to go through the steps to achieve the ultimate outcome of employment is a winning strategy that shows in our placements. One of the other things that having this couple things very quickly, everybody's resources are being stretched so thinly. But bringing to the table the resources, the leverage resources of my partners, having an opportunity not just to, here is a piece of paper, go try to figure out what to do with your homelessness, here is the list of resources. No, you go to Human Solution, and Renata waits for you there because we just put an application there for you. No, you have an interview tomorrow, and you go to Dress for Success tonight because we just put that phone call, and you can go there. And many other things. These are the resources that my partners bring. As a manager, as employment services manager at IRCO, what IRCO brings to the table is the language capabilities and cultural capabilities. We have staff who speaks Arabic, Russian, Somali, Spanish. And if I don't have a staff, I can just pick up the phone and somebody from IRCO who is 2 miles away will be right there. Nepalese? Yes. Burmese? Yes. Karen? Yes. There are some languages that nobody can provide. But their body language, there are other ways. Nobody is turned away. I think each of us can talk about what we do on a daily basis until the day ends or even more. But the thing is, these services are extremely valuable, and we are all members of community, and these people deserve support. And I can assure you on behalf of Community Works Project, and if my partners would allow me on everybody's behalf, we're very committed to continue this work and to see our community members thriving in our community. Thank you very much for the opportunity to speak about the services that we provide.
Thank you very much, Victoria, Kelly, Renee. Questions, colleagues? This is a very compelling panel. I have a question. Just, actually a couple. In terms of the biggest challenges that you face, I mean, clearly you've articulated the work that needs to be done. You've articulated the benefit of partnerships and, you know, working together to leverage resources. What can we be doing as a state to facilitate that? I assume funding is part of it, but are there other things that we could be doing as a state to make your work easier?
I think for me on the DHS side,
good answer, Chris.
is not to lose the focus that as we talk about the highly skilled in future employees or current employees, that we don't lose sight that we have a lower skill base that should have the same opportunities. And that as we work with our coalition of workforce partners and with the business community, is how can we make certain that they have the same accessibility into the system. And then number two for me would be that we really think about as we get these our folks who are at that lower or minimum skill into the system and coming off of a, quote, financial supported public service system, how do we do a retention glide path that's going to be supportive of them and their children and balancing that? Those are two key things that I could think of.
One thing that I would like to add to totally agree with you is that we need, as a system, the Workforce Development Board, DHS, community partners, all of us community members, think about having access, but also making sure that they are not staying in this entry level, because that's a catch-22. We got you a job, but you still don't have a GED. You still didn't enter a vocational training. You still didn't have enough support to go through an educational system where you can get advancement. And at some point, we should look at a very small fragment of our community where we have the people with low skills. That's the key, not to circle these people.
Mm-hmm. So to create a pathway for them, then.
Correct.
Yes.
Yeah. Right. And not to forget about them.
Yeah, thank you.
Chair Deborah.
We voted for Hannah.
Yes,
I just want to follow up on those comments because I think that's exactly what my thinking is that in my district, the average income in my district is $165,000 a year. My district is where Intel and all the tech industries are located. And, you know, I'm talking to them about workforce development, and we're talking about, you know, they bring in engineers and folks from out of state or even out of the country. And what I'm interested in is how can we work with you and your partners to help folks. I mean, I think what we're about is helping people to reach their full potential. And I think that we've got this tremendous opportunity of people, Oregonians. How do we build those pathways? How do we work with these high-tech industries or other corporations, small businesses? If that's what we're about is job development, well, we've got people. And how do we then create those pathways and really, as I said, really not just think about entry level and not just think about graduating from higher institutions of higher education, but also, you know, how do we build that continuum so that we have a workforce that has meaningful work and really contributes then to the state resources as well? So thank you. I appreciate your presentations.
One thing that I would add to kind of take another step is that absolutely having those conversations with employers, one of the components is the Jobs Plus, the subsidized employment program. And if every person in this room asked two people that they know that own a business, would you be willing to train someone? Would you be willing to hire a Jobs Plus person or even one, like Renee was saying, if you'll just hire one, if every person made that commitment, I think that we would have a huge impact on the community and the connection to employers. The other thing, since you asked the question, what can you do? Another thing that I would request is that you actually come to some of the trainings and come to the locations and actually, you know, come in as a representative for your district and say, I'm here and I believe in you, because the clients that we're working with, like we're talking about, that's one of the biggest barriers is they feel very disconnected. And so, you know, having conversations with you directly and seeing that you have faith in them and faith in the programs, I think would really help ensure success.
Thank you. Thank you for that, Kelly.
Is there another 30 seconds that I can...
Okay, just 30 seconds.
30 seconds. In your district, sir, there are not only engineers, but the clean room techs. People who, if they get an accelerated 6, 9, 12 months training, would be totally in a different planet. And there are a lot of corporations who have the education support program. That's the pathway.
Good.
Thank you.
No, that's great. Thank you, all three
Thank
of you.
You.
Yes. Before I call up the next panel, there are a few of us who need to go off to another meeting, and so please excuse them.
Mr. Chair.
It has nothing to do with, I know they're very interested in this topic.
Representative, my colleague here and I both voted in Human Services for a crazy half of the 10 of the votes.
No, you're right.
Okay, so therefore you're excused, Representative. Okay, I'm going to call up the next panel.
It is higher.
Jamila Rodman, Judy McDonald, and Tricia Riley. And Amy, if you could squeeze in.
Yeah, I'm going to pull up a chair.
Great, thanks.
Good morning, Chair Denbrough and committee members. My name is Tricia Riley, and I didn't even know what TANF was years ago. Through a life hardball, I found myself unemployed, 5 children, no husband, no income. Thank God, 4 of mine are now in college, and I only have 1 remaining at home, but he's a handful, you know, youngest baby and all. Now, I went through the jobs program in Portland. Fantastic people, very encouraging. And I got hired in a Jobs Plus position, and I've had the ability to work with a lot of the people with more boundaries than I've had. So I found myself encouraging them, and they've seen in me what they could do. And now we're all friends. But Ms. Tracy and Dr. Steve, whom I've had privilege of working with, and these two ladies here, it's really hard out there, guys. Basically, that's it. And thanks to everybody that believed in us. I've got a resume. I've never had to put one in. I was always hired off my abilities. And my ability to speak and sell myself. This new application process, because I'm an older woman, this new application process is nothing I was familiar with. So without the training, I would still be in those fly-by-night positions, those limited wage, limited duration positions, to where I was unemployed in another 3 months, back on TANF. Almost homeless, and then back to a call center. So now I am employed with PCC as an admin assistant, and without the guidance of this program, I wouldn't be here.
Thank you, Tricia.
Good morning, Chair Denbrough and committee members. My name is Judy McDonald, and I am representing PCC Jobs Program. I was married for several years, 2 beautiful children, got divorced, had to move in with my mom, went through bankruptcy, yada, yada, yada. I already had my associate's degree with PCC, and I decided after I couldn't find a job, I went back to school, and I graduated a little over a year ago from PSU with my bachelor's degree. Came out ready to hit the pavement, thought, oh, I'm going to get a job, no problem. Yeah, wasn't the case. I was applying and applying and applying and applying, and I didn't get anything. I got 1 phone interview in 7 months, and I had taken 1 lump sum out to stretch me through, to give me extra money to be able to pay my bills and whatnot, 1 last lump of loan money. And I had exhausted that due to car payments, all of that. Thankfully, I was living with my mom, so that wasn't a problem, but everything else and having 2 children on my own and caring for them, that was very costly. So I went in and applied for TANF, first time in my life. And I am so thankful for the jobs program, because I wouldn't be where I am now. And I can say that without a doubt. I went into the first orientation, and then I went into the job search program. And shortly thereafter, after making a connection with a gentleman by the name of David Sahim, he's a academic advisor there. He and I developed a rapport. We were chatting, and I told him that I was interested in social work, and he really listened to me, and he directed me to Dr. Steve Rote. And he informed me about the Jobs Plus peer mentor position with Project Enterprise Classroom. And so after I spoke with Dr. Rote and I walked around and observed and saw what the other peer mentor prior to me was doing, I felt, wow, this is something I could do. This is fun. And I get to help people. I love helping people and helping them write their resumes and letters of disclosure and that sort of thing. I was really, really interested, and I thought, wow, this is a good way to get in and get my foot in the door and get some experience. So I interviewed, and I got the position. And I am beyond grateful and thankful for the program, because without it, I wouldn't have had this experience that is so very, very valuable. And I am now no longer in a Jobs Plus position. I am actually hired on with PCC, regular casual employee. And it's great. I mean, students call me Miss Judy. And it's so exciting. And I got an email today, or last night actually, from someone that I was working with, helping them with their application and their resume and hiring, submitting that via email to an employer. And she forwarded me late last night the email that she had received saying that she was invited to come in for an interview next Wednesday. And she was just so thankful. And she said without Dr. Steve and Ms. Tracy and myself, she wouldn't have been able to get that interview. And I see that every day that I'm at work. So I've seen it on, I'm been a program, participant myself, and now I'm seeing it on the other side of working with the participants also, and how many people do have all those barriers that the last panel was speaking about, and how they're wanting to overcome that, and they really, really do want to go to work. And so our job is to try to help them get there and get employed. So I'm very, very thankful for the program. So thank you.
Thank you very much, Judy. Jamila.
I'm Chairman Dembrow and the members of the committee. My name is Jamila. I am been in the country for 7 years. I have 2 kids. I'm a single mother. Was working and didn't speak the language. Said, well, I cannot. How am I supposed to get better if I don't speak any English? So I took ESL. Still couldn't get a job. And so how I ended up going to school. I am at PSU right now. I lost my job, didn't have no family in the country, nowhere to go, went into shelter, and then I ended up at the jobs program. And they said, well, you speak really good English. You're in school. I'm at PSU. I'm a double major in management and finance. I'm a senior right now. And the Job Plus just helped me to guide me and get me into those employers that I really would like to work with. And I got hired a day before starting at a Job Plus program. They said, well, the day before, hey, by the way, we just lowered the pay to 12, or actually 16. And the Job Plus, she didn't want me to settle for that because she said, well, we agreed on this in the beginning, and I was like, I'll take it. But they were just so supportive and wanted so much bigger for me. And they said, hey, there's a position open here. Would you like to do an informational interview? That helped me get into the door, and now I'm working at PCC. I'm working with Glenn Harding, who helps clients with barriers and that have tickets, that have criminal background from 5 to 10 years ago that could not get that job. And we help them. He goes to the court system with them, see if they can change it to community service. They can get that taken expunged so we can help them stop and come back to the system that comes minimum wage, coming back 6 months later, minimum wage, coming back 6 months later. But this job helps people to motivate them and say, hey, you're not in this alone, and we're going to help you. And some of them go way beyond what their pay is, way beyond what their job description is, to help us get that job. And they follow up, and they call the employers, how is she doing? How are her skills? Is she improving? Is she getting better? Can we get her in there permanent? So I think without this job program, our economy will go way down than it is right now, and we won't be able to get us out of the system. We'll be back on benefits every year. So I'm really, really proud to be part of PCC job program, and I am just blessed that I could, that they were there for me when I needed them.
Thank you very much, Jamila. Amy, you have anything to add?
Yeah, thank you. Thanks for inviting me. I'm Amy Young-Flash. Do you have any questions?
You need a mic.
No,
oh,
I know.
And
phone.
Identify yourself. Thanks.
Yeah.
Can you hear me? Is this better? Okay. Hi, I'm Amy Young-Flesh. I work for Portland Community College, and I run the jobs program, Steps to Success. We also have the contract of Portland Community College to run the WIA Workforce Center. I am thrilled that the Workforce Development Committee invited participants to the jobs program here, because jobs is one of those unique public programs that straddles both sort of sides, Department of Human Services, in that you support single families in crisis with, you know, the child care, finance, and food stamps that they need. But the jobs program also funds workforce and economic development, and the jobs program really is a workforce program. Very quickly, sort of, students are enrolled in jobs. They come to the college. We do a holistic assessment with them. We look at their skills, their interests, their talents. We do a very quick mental health, drug and alcohol, domestic violence assessment. If that if some issues spring up, we have some referrals that we can give them. And then from there, very individualized employment and training plans. And there's sort of the slide talked about it in the big picture. There's tiers of services that we can offer jobs participants. If you're pretty job ready and ready to go, we have workshops that you can attend. We co-enroll all the jobs programs into the workforce programs, the Worksource Center, which is just right down the road. Every Friday is the NCRC, so when you're enrolled in Worksource, you take the NCRC. So jobs clients are sort of routed through that. Right, what Sochi was talking about, it's not required, but anybody who's enrolled in Worksource, NCRC is talked about so much, they're actually kind of beating the doors down to get it. So we have it every week. Then within jobs, if it looks like you need a little more support, we've got internships and jobs plus opportunities. And so you're investing in workforce in terms of the job seeker, but the jobs program also works with businesses, so you're doing business development too. The majority of employers in Portland and Oregon in general are small businesses, and Jobs Plus is a great mechanism. A lot of small businesses kind of reach this point where they invest in equipment or they invest in personnel. They're growing. Jobs Plus is a great way to have an employer on site. The wages are subsidized for 6 months. The employer gets very invested in training, so they become a partner in the workforce development because they have somebody on site that they're doing training in. They develop a relationship with us, and we do all the pre-screening. We send clients their way, so it saves them a lot of time and money, and they're able to hire directly, or if they need a little more skills, they can hire in Jobs Plus. If anybody's in Jobs Plus, we have a career advisor that comes and does retention services. So once again, we're serving investing in businesses because we're sort of training. A lot of businesses tell us they become better supervisors after a Jobs Plus experience. We sort of work with them on conflict resolution, tailoring their job description, how to provide training, diversity in the workforce. They sort of get this benefit when they have a jobs client on their work site. So we create jobs through the jobs program. We also are
designing the jobs program to kind of work with workforce investment sector strategies. So this year we've got some classroom trainings that are preparing people. In Portland, it's manufacturing, and manufacturing is split between high-tech and then also more of the machinist, blue-collar manufacturing, healthcare, and then office. Those are the industry sectors we're targeting. So we're designing the jobs program to do computer skills, job interviewing, some of the soft skills. So if, when you're enrolled in WIA, you're competitive to take those training dollars and get formalized training. So we're starting that this year, and with continued funding, we hope to continue it next year. I think what's different about the jobs program as the experience that job seekers get in WorkSource is we're able to really have very individualized job development and job training plans with everyone. And it's that relationship that sort of keeps the client sort of coming back and feeling invested in themselves. They develop a trust with us. We're going to be there for them. Even if they start working, we can sort of be available to do retention. So that's really sort of the difference between the experience of somebody just going into WorkSource and getting job services. So I guess want to leave it. Final message is that the jobs program really is kind of a win-win, because you're investing in job seekers and sort of in terms of developing their skills and ability to enter the workforce, but you're also investing in employers, because through Jobs Plus and internships, you're helping them grow businesses.
Thank you very much, Annie. Any questions?
Comment.
Okay, go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thanks a lot for sharing your stories. It helps greatly for those of us who have not been in that position to understand and see the paths that you've taken. Y'all rock.
Thank you. Thank you. I have a couple of comments. And the first one was, provoked by what you just said, Amy. What sets the jobs program apart from just regular employment programs? I think a lot of it for me, and those of you may not know, I've worked at PCC myself for many, many years. And so I've seen the recipients of people who have, the job program has just been one step in a long-term process, a pathway for them, which has been remarkable and great. And I've seen firsthand the work of Ms. Tracy and others who are here. It's the community that is created within that program that really, that really helps. I think that, Tricia mentioned how, she can play sort of big sister, to the group of students. And that, the sort of cohort that's created, kind of team, a community, I think really makes a big difference in creating that long-term support. So I really value it. And also, its connection with the community college as well, because it's, again, if you're thinking in terms of helping people to be part of a long-term pathway, that's a very good connection, I think, very productive. One of the real challenges that we always face is that the jobs program tends to be seen as a DHS program, which it certainly is. It certainly is. But as we have our annual or biannual funding battles down here, the jobs program too often is not really seen as a jobs program, as an employment program, which, it obviously is. It's jobs plus. Oh, yeah, there's the term. it's employment plus all the support that goes with it to make it successful. I'm glad that we were able to bring this presentation here to this committee, which is focused on workforce development as well as higher ed, to talk about this as really a crucial piece of workforce development in this state. A population that is really the bedrock of this state and needs to be, you know, supported and developed. So I really applaud these increasing partnerships that are happening, you know, between the jobs program and the larger workforce investment WIA, you know, kind of perspective. Any other questions, colleagues? Okay, thank you very much,
thank you.
Panel. It really, really helped hearing from you. So, John, you're going to do cleanup. Agnes, since you're here, did you have anything to add to what you've heard?
I'm happy to answer any questions if you'd like.
Sure.
Or if
you'd like to. Why don't you just come up and say something, you know?
She's looking at the clock.
Would you like the order, Mr. Chair?
What? Yes, please, John.
Okay, thank you. Mr. Chair, members of the committee, for the record, John Mullen with the Oregon Law Center, and I'm very pleased to have the opportunity to be here today. And I think this is just a great idea for a hearing. I just want to offer a very quick historical perspective because, as some of you know, before I came to work for the Oregon Law Center, before I retired from Clackamas County, I worked there for many years and saw a number of changes, including the jobs program converted to the new jobs program under the leadership of then State Representative Darlene Hooley, and the idea about having then the ADC program begin to work with some of the workforce actors that were in the community. Over the years, though, I have to say I saw some ups and downs to the cycle of how things worked at the local level. And in fact, I think the workforce connection to TANF in different parts of the state works differently, and that's what we would expect in local communities. But I think now, is more importantly than perhaps ever, we have so many things that are changing in our environment and under discussion that this is a really great opportunity to talk about how these programs work together. So to bring this up to more modern history, when I retired and went to work for the Law Center and came to the session in 2007, we worked with the House Human Services Committee. Representative Gilliam was on that committee, and a freshman named Representative Tina Kotek was very interested in promoting the idea of creating what I later have referred to as creating Oregon's TANF program, because the so-called welfare reform that took place back in 1996 gave us a block grant, but we really weren't focused on how to make the best effort out of what we had with the tools that were available. And we created a program that I was very proud of, and there was an investment in it. And the investment that's most germane to this discussion was the real investment in the jobs program. And 2007, we after the session ended, we started to have really very good results based on the investment that happened in the jobs program. Now, I would also say that the economy, of course, goes up and down. And there were times back in the 1990s when we talked about the fact that we're going to need everybody in the workforce. And it made a great opportunity for people with disabilities and people with barriers to employment to say you really can succeed. And now, of course, we're in a challenge that we're looking at the number of people that are unemployed and then the people that are in TANF struggling to get jobs. And so in so many ways, we're hoping to see some reinvestment back in the jobs program that DHS provides so that the partnership can be more effective at the local level and we can see hopefully some better results over time. A number of us after the 2000 session created what we now refer to as the TANF Alliance, and we have been working very much with the Department of Human Services. Liesl in her presentation talked about the various work groups. One of the things that was distressing to advocates was to see the cuts that happened as the economy got worse. You know, we're counter-cyclical and the economy gets worse, there's less revenue, but there's more need. And we saw cuts to really what was the program that we really called Oregon's program that was developed with House Bill 2456 back in the 2007 session. So we began to see a number of gaps, and the job program being one of those principal gaps. jobs. So I think just a way of adding some additional perspective, I really enjoyed the testimony today, and it's always really terrific to see the success of individual people that feel empowered coming through a program like this and getting the best services that are available and being an inspiration to others, frankly. Chair Dembro, I want to also comment on a remark that you made, which I think is really at the essence of this. At times, it seems like the two parties talk past each other when they talk about jobs, and we don't have a common agenda. But here we have a potential for a common agenda that really makes sense, in that not only is that investment in the individual person going to be really terrific, and they'll be a new taxpayer, and they'll be able to provide for their family, but we have the dual benefit of reducing the benefit side of the equation, and we have a positive effect on the budget. So in closing, I just want to say I really have appreciated the work of my fellow advocates working on this program over the years, and I really have appreciated the work with the Department of Human Services. We're still trying to make the best of things. We hope that Representative Gallegos and others on Ways and Means will take a very close look at House Bill 3440, which is a program bill that we worked on with bipartisan support that would make some investments in some programs in TANF. But frankly, in addition to 3440, in an ideal world, even if we had that, we need an additional appropriation from Ways and Means for the jobs program to make it the best that it could be. Thank you for the opportunity to testify today.
Thank you, John. Agnes, and first of all, let me say, you know, it means a lot to have you here today. I think it sends a very strong signal, again, of, you know, how the jobs program is one piece in the, but that's at the heart of Oregon's workforce development strategy.
Chair Dembro, members of the committee, Agnes Balasa, the governor's workforce policy advisor. And I don't have prepared comments since I wasn't really planning on coming up today, but I think what you've seen here is one of the things that we're really trying to sort out ourselves, as we have a very complex and multifaceted workforce system, because we have very complex and multifaceted needs of our population as they try to move from poverty to self-sufficiency to independence. You know, from our perspective, the jobs program is a critical input in helping populations move forward. We've talked about the work source system and the fact that it's serving about 280,000 people a year. As a result of that, you have to complement that system with a variety of other programs that are able to go deeper and serve deeper sets of needs, because you can't do that all with a light touch program. And so part of what we're in the process of doing with the Oregon Workforce Investment Board and the governor's office is trying to sort out what are the strategies and opportunities to bring more of these programs together in alignment. You heard people today talk about a couple of those. They talked about the sector strategies, our efforts to better get business input so that we can figure out not only how to place those with the best opportunities quickly, but also those who need additional supports and figure out what's the most cost-effective way to do that. We talked about the National Career Readiness Certificate and our efforts to start to implement that with some of the jobs programs. That's a new one in the job system, but one that's available to anybody who's participated through the work source centers. And so a lot of what you've heard today may sound like a web of somewhat overlapping programs, and they are, but they have specialties and they serve certain niches. And together, that's what makes the difference. You also have expressed the challenge we have in terms of understanding these programs in our typical categories as education or human services or workforce development. In today's world, those lines are blurred. You could look at UI program as a social support program, too, in one sense, in that it's what helps people get through those hard times when they're in between jobs, just like the TANF program helps people who fall into hard times with a different set of circumstances. And so I think we're in a world where all of these definitions are changing and blurred, and the more we can do to line these pieces up, to figure out what the strengths and niches of various programs are, and then to figure out how they can work together most effectively, is the endeavor we're undertaking, and we're hoping to come back to you with a lot more information and ideas for the next session. So thank you for the opportunity to be
here. Thank you, Agnes. We look forward to that. Thanks, both of you, John always, and Agnes, and everyone who came today for this. We are at an end. I'm going to close this information session on TANF and the jobs program, and we are adjourned.